97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with my co-host Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Yeah, good to get everybody together again, because there has been no shortage of things to talk about this past week dealing with, the shootings, I guess I should say plural, right? Because of some of the problems that we've seen, no doubt about that. And the crime news here. In town, because we had the shooting, bow down at the Cinco de Mayo festival in South St. Louis.
That was one of them.
And they very publicly put up pictures of two people drawing weapons out of their waistband and brandishing them around, right? And shooting two people in the leg, apparently. And then we find out this week that there were no charges filed against the lady they arrested.
And released her back into society, which is frightening. And that's a great reason to maybe get a little familiar with a concealed carry yourself. Because I've had this thought, Mark, that, you know, when we can get the guns out of the bad guys' hands,
right?
Then it moves the needle down the road. But nobody in the culture there is abiding by gun laws. I mean, they're wielding them, and being arrested and then being released, that's a frightening thing. What's this person doing today?
Well, here's the thing. If you went through a concealed carry course, I've been through a concealed carry course. One thing you learn, the prosecutor's office said they didn't have enough evidence to charge them, right? think back to the picture of the McCloskeys on their front yard.
I thought the same thing this week, man.
Right?
Ugh.
They were on their property. They didn't shoot anybody. They were defending their property, which the Castle Doctrine gives them the right to do. Versus this picture, where you got two people with weapons drawn. Remember the McCloskey video? That photo went viral. Brandishing, which is against the law. You can't threaten somebody with a gun by waving it at them. And then they actually pointed at somebody and pulled the trigger. And yet our circuit attorney can't find a reason to charge or hold these criminal defendants, because they claim they couldn't find a victim or somebody that was willing to press charges. They know who got shot. They know where the shots came from. Ballistics would prove that. Why can't there be charges in this case? It's part and parcel of why Kim Gardner has single-handedly destroyed criminal justice in the city of St. Louis.
It's absolutely frightening to know that this person on Cinco de Mayo is doing what they did, and they're back on the street. Obviously, you know, able to get a firearm whenever they want, legally or unlegally. It's scary, especially when people are out partying, they're celebrating, and something like this happens. You know, only if they had photographic evidence to prove. But, you know, nobody wants to believe a photo or video when it comes to something like this, at least nobody from the circuit attorney's office, which I just don't know how they can look anybody in the face and say these words and saying we don't have enough evidence. It can't compute in my brain, Mark.
Joy,
I'm losing it.
Joy Reid is a host on MSNBC. I played the bite from her on my show earlier this week, where she came out and said it's no longer safe to go to a mall in a red state. Because she's, of course, talking about these mass shootings that have happened around the country, the most recent one at the mall in Texas. And interestingly enough, I did some quick math that morning, and I looked up the shootings and death tolls in major metropolitan cities around the country, all of which are blue, not red, and all of which are run by progressives who defund the police and don't support law enforcement. And there were somewhere on the par of 75 people shot, with about 15 or 16 killed in these five or six major cities over just last weekend. So the death toll that they ignore constantly goes on in the background, while they're critical when a criminal takes a gun and points it, which is the criminal action, at another human being and fires it at a mall, or they target somewhere like that. The point here is that Joy Reid doesn't want solutions other than banning guns. She doesn't want to look at the real reasons this is happening in blue cities across America and doesn't care a whole lot about the Second Amendment. I've got a soundbite here, Carl, I'd like to go to first from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is, of course, running for president as a Democrat, but the guy has been an anti-vaccine guy for a while, and he's very suspicious of pharmaceuticals. And the question they ask him is, what's going on in America with all these mass shootings? I don't know that I've heard a Democrat point this out, but I wanted to play this bite.
Nobody is looking at the pharmaceutical contribution to that. That anecdotally, it appears that almost every one of these shooters were on SRIs or some other psychiatric drug. And there, you know, this is only happening in America, where all these people are, you know, are taking these psychiatric drugs. We take four times as many as any other country in the world, the average European country.
So, I mean, he's right. All of these people were on something. He referred specifically to Prozac in one of his bites, sure. But maybe it's not Prozac, man. Maybe it's Adderall. Maybe I don't know what all it is. But there, the difference between now and when you and I were in high school, when people would come to school with guns in gun racks in the back window of their pickup truck, yep, nobody absolutely. Got shot then.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
For being, one of the, you know, countries with the greatest healthcare system in the world, we have the most sick people on a bunch of different levels. And, you know, I know that medicines have helped people, you know, for decades, centuries, if you want to call it that. But when it comes down to it, we don't know what we learned in research. Like when we captured the Nazi scientists and brought them back to America and, you know, and wanted to get more information about what they were doing, or the medical science that was being done in other, you know, countries like China or whatever, they were doing experiments. And now we have Big Pharma is getting everybody, you know, when you call the doctor to make an appointment, it happens to me anyway, even the dentist, they say, please bring along a list of your medications. I'm like, I'm not on any medications. Am I the oddball out? I don't know. I do want to point out, though, you just played the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. soundbite. I did some research because his voice stands out because there's something going on there. And I looked into it. And if anybody hasn't looked into it, it's spasmodic dysphonia. And it's a specific form of involuntary movement disorder because people are like, well, this guy can't run. He can't even talk. But he's got it together. It's just a condition that he has.
Politically, I disagree with him on a lot of different positions. But it's been interesting. It's been interesting that the mainstream that the conservative media has had him on more than the mainstream media because of his position on vaccines and maybe now because of his take on these shootings. You know, this week, Carrie Lake, who ran for governor down in Arizona, was on with Piers Morgan. I don't often watch Piers Morgan, but this one caught my attention because he's British and he was trying to make the argument to her about the problems with the Second Amendment and what she thinks the solution is. And she talked to him from the standpoint of being a mother and how traumatized she is by what's going on as well. Listen.
And we have a Second Amendment. It's a God-given right. Mm. It's in our Constitution.
Do you think the Founding Fathers, would they have been comfortable, Carrie? Would the Founding Fathers have been comfortable watching this absolutely never-ending series of mass shootings? Would they have thought that was what they meant by the Second Amendment? Or would they have looked to perhaps to tailor it to modern times?
The Founding Fathers would have never been okay with what they're seeing right now, which is tyranny on our land once again. And the Second Amendment was put in place. We already pushed back the tyrants once, and we didn't give up. We clung to our guns.
Who's the tyranny from?
The tyranny was from the monarchy.
But now.
And now we're seeing an overreaching government. We're seeing a lying media lying to us, taking our livelihoods away with COVID restrictions and imposing all of that on our children and on our families and on our education. And we don't want to have to throw back the tyrants again, but they put that in place to prevent us from having to do that, to protect us.
You know, Bo, when I watched the coronation, a little bit of it from last weekend, that the thought that's stuck in my mind pretty close to first as I saw the crown being put on Prince Charles' head is that now King Charles is that This was the first reason for the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I mean, I know a lot of people were watching. I watched a little bit of. I tuned in just as they were putting the crown on the king's head. I don't get it. All the pomp and circumstance. It doesn't do anything for me. They don't really have power, right?
Right. No, not effectively. To her point about the reason that we have the Second Amendment, and I thought it was a good one. That's like Megyn Kelly said in a tweet this past week, for all the people that want to ban guns, you need to move on. We know you hate the Second Amendment, but you're not going to remove that from the Constitution any easier than you are the First Amendment, and you need to look at what the solutions are to this problem. It's mental health, right? And it's making sure people like this guy in Texas who've been kicked out of the military for being nuts shouldn't right. have had access to weapons.
Yeah, this is. But you got to pay attention, though, because this is the slow boil of the frog in the pot. And, you know, they're making little moves here and there. They're getting a narrative pushed out there to law-abiding gun owners to, you know, understand that someday we will be coming for them. I don't think it's possible, but that slow roll of that water boiling, man, you just feel it every day, and it started back in COVID. Came in hot.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a fight they want, to be honest. But, you know, there's a group in Colorado that just came right out and said it the other day. It's a group of moms that got together and said, we want to ban all weapons. They're pushing the governor of Colorado to ban all weapons and offer to buy back the ones that are out there. I'm like, you know what? I didn't buy my gun from the government, and I'm not selling it back to the government.
Well, if they're paying $400 for a toilet, $10,000 for this 22 might go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's just a weird time, especially when you see what happens on the streets of major cities, including St. Louis.
True.
The idea of having to give up your firearm, knowing that the criminals and the violent criminals are still armed. There ain't no way. It's a frightening thought.
It really is. You know, but I wanted to mention here real quick, I had an opportunity to go out to The Range, who's one of the sponsors of my show, The Range St. Louis West, and do a tactical triage and treatment class. And the instructor, Rob Morton, just did a fantastic job. He's a retired master sergeant and a combat medic. And, you know, it wasn't just about treating gunshot wounds. It was about if you roll up on the scene of a bad accident and you've got people with, you know, severe trauma and the difference between them living or dying might be the 5 or 10 minutes it takes an ambulance to get there. And if you've got the right tools with you, a tourniquet and some other stuff used to stop bleeding and a little bit of training, you have which I believe I now have after this 4-hour class, it gives you the opportunity to potentially save someone's life in a traumatic situation. They teach you what you can do. They teach you about situational awareness, and they teach you about the limits of what you can't do. It's not about going in for this would be a 40-hour class if they were teaching you everything, but it's about teaching you how to put on a tourniquet, where to put it, what to look for when you roll up on something like that. I just can't say enough about the class if people have an opportunity.
Why is that not criteria in high school? Why isn't everybody going through that? That would be awesome. I mean, look how the father was able to save his daughter's life that was hit in the car accident downtown. He saved her life because he had military medical training.
Yeah.
And I would love to see this as a prerequisite for graduating high school or even younger, maybe middle school.
Certainly high school. I think it would be good for everybody to have that basic because, you know, if you have a necktie on and you roll up on something like that, you can use that as an improvised tourniquet if you know how to do it. It's simple things like that that they teach people. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes here on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, if you love shooting, if you love sports shooting, trap, skeet, and all of that, there's a great event the Eureka Chamber's having. It's a sporting clay shoot that's coming up, and yours truly and Mr. Bo Matthews are both going to be down there. You can test your skills against us, and that ought to be an easy win for you, generally speaking.
you'll at least beat me, and ironically, it is the day after my anniversary, so I'm in the clear.
You're good to go.
All right, well, stick around. We got a whole lot more on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors right here. It is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, reminding you roses for mama are ideal. And Sig Sauer has a rose gun training kit, and it's designed for women, but anybody can buy it. Beautifully roses engraved in the handle, some beautiful rose-colored metal on it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's available at Razorback Armory. Call them, get a hold of them, go to the store, find out their address, and learn more at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you. All right, old friend of mine, old chiropractor of mine, actually, is into the shooting sports, and he is part of the group that's putting on the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Sporting Clay Shoot Friday, May 19th. And we are looking for shooters. That is the main thing. It's a fundraiser, and we would love to have you involved. Dr. Patrick Fader is our guest because you are part of the group putting this thing on. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bo. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, we're excited about this event coming up. I'm excited because I've been once recently with Mark Cox, and I got 31 out of 100. That was terrible. But I'm willing to show up. And so I posted on Facebook, Doc, that, hey, show up anyway, because at least you'll beat me. Tell us about this event that's coming up and how to sign up.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great event. You can sign up at eurekachamber.org, or you can call Krista at our chamber office, and that's 636-938-6062. But, yeah, as you said, it's going to be Friday, May 19th. It'll be out at the St. Louis Skeet and Trap Club out there in Pacific. If you know where the Pacific Prison is, just across the tracks there. Check-in will be at 11 a.m. We'll have barbecue. We're doing sporting clays. So if you did a 31 out of 100, there's a little bit of room for improvement there as we all have. But yeah, you get about 50, I think that's pretty solid. But yeah, sporting clays is tough. It's a tough deal. So we're also having raffle. We're gonna raffle off a couple guns, a 22 caliber Henry Golden Boy rifle and a Mossberg 12 gauge shotgun. It'd be good. Dinner and drinks are included, $100 a shooter. Go ahead, please. I was going to say $100 a shooter. If you've got a shotgun, obviously bring it. You don't have to be a shotgunner to participate. They will have some rental guns, but those will be kind of limited, and they will have ammunition out there that you can purchase, but that'll be kind of limited too. So if you've got that, that'll be great.
So just based on watching Bo shoot the last time he was out there, do you have a program where you provide chiropractic care to people when they're done dislodging their shoulder blades?
Yeah, that would help.
They probably ought to do it beforehand so he can shoot straighter, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. You need an alignment, Bo. Did you hear that? Dr. Fader says you need an alignment.
Oh, that's right. Easy. And what I learned last week on the program was I just have to complain about the wind, right?
The wind, the size of the clay birds, you know, the fact that it's bouncing along the ground for the rabbit station. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses. Sun, sweat, anything. Yeah. Use whatever you can.
Dr. Fader, we've talked about it before, but sporting clays are a unique challenge. Even for somebody who's shot skeet or trap, it's still a different kind of beast because you're never quite sure what you're up against, and it's enough to throw even the best shooter off.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So I'm mainly a quail and pheasant guy, but they have, and a little bit of dove, but they've got rabbit station, they've got springing teal, they've got other kind of duck stations that come in. So they're trying to simulate the different types of winged birds that you'll encounter out in the field, and it's a lot of fun. It's challenging. It makes you a better shooter for sure out in the field if you're a hunter, and if you're not, it's just a really good time. And yeah, you can laugh.
Let me ask you, Doc Fader, is this a 100-shot game or is this 50 this time?
It's 100 shots. It'll be 100 shots.
If it's
50, 31 out of 50 would be good for you, Bo.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And we really want to encourage people to do this. Maybe you've had a sports shooting gun, shotgun for a long time. Maybe it's been in the closet or you're safe or whatever, and you haven't had it out in a while. It's really going to be fun, and you don't have to be a member to be at this event, correct?
No, not at all. St. Louis Skeet and Trap is awesome. You don't have to be a member to go out there and shoot. Members do get a little bit of a discount break on the regular day, but it's a great location. They've got a lot of stuff. They got five stand out there. They got skeet and trap. as well. And there's a bunch of good shooters out there. Lindenwood College shoots out there on occasion. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, I shot five stand last week for the first time ever. I'd done something similar years ago, but I shot five stand last week, and again, I was humbled by it. You've got true pairs flying like skeet. You've got shoot one and then report on the shoot as they hear the shotgun go off. They fire the second one, and there's all different combinations. It was the best thing about it was getting to have a cold beer at the end of it.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of cold beer at the end of this one too, just not before, but plenty of it afterwards. And we'll have barbecue too. I think Chris is going to be lighting up the grill and queuing it up, so it'll be a good time.
That's great. Doc Vader, he's with a Comprehensive Chiropractic out in Eureka. I've known him for many years, and I have to ask, when was the first time you had a shotgun in your hand, and who was responsible for getting you into the shooting sports?
Oh, man. I want to say I carried it's funny. I followed my dad and my grandfather around for years when they were quail hunters, or big quail hunters. And I carry a stick around mimicking the shotgun because dad wanted us to practice gun safety. And then so it was my dad and my grandfather really got me into it. And, lifelong bird hunters and just love it. Unfortunately, we got to drive all the way out to Kansas to find anything that's any good. Bird population in Missouri has dwindled so much lately, but they're the ones that were responsible for it. Had a great time. My dad taught us gun safety. My brother and I can remember it. Both of us remember it like it was yesterday. And he took a tin can after he took a tin can. I think it was a bush can that somebody pitched off on the side of the road. And he goes, "Boys, a gun's it's a very powerful weapon. You got to treat it with respect." And he continued to he pulled the trigger and blew this can to smithereens, and ever since then we've respected it and just had a great time doing it. So, and we pass that on to our boys too. It's and our daughters as well. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
Any thoughts on how that's changed over the years, Doc? Because these days people don't seem to be as educated about it. You can have conversations with a lot of people who will tell you, "I've never fired a gun, I've never held a gun." And I think that a lot of the folks that do that, and that's fine, that's their choice, they end up with unnecessary fears about a gun. Mm-hmm. Because everybody I know who shoots and who was brought up with a healthy respect for it understands that. And if you haven't, I don't think you do. You can't.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's, with the same thing we have with society. You know, we have people that, those people do this, those people do that politically or otherwise. And when you get to know them, you realize they're just like you, and they've got a lot of the same wants and desires and very similar. And same thing with a gun. You know, your familiarity with it really helps you understand it. You may choose not to have one or own one but just understand how they operate, what they do, and that they can be handled safely is a huge, huge deal. So how'd you like that?
I think it's outstanding.
I put society and some of our societal woes with gun and gun safety and understanding that.
I like it.
Well, before I went out and met Mark out at the St. Louis Trap and Skeet, I just was told over and over, it's like golf with shotguns. And when I got out there, it had been a long time, a few years since I'd done any kind of trap shooting at all. And it really is the design of the team that you have, because these teams on this event register up to five shooters, or you can register individually and they'll put you on a team. But it really does feel like golf. I mean, we were talking business, we were talking politics, we were just talking and enjoying the day. And we hope that the weather's going to be great on the 19th. It's a Friday. Again, we really urge you, if you enjoy golf, and you have a shotgun, and you know that culture that's around that, it's just a great time, because it's, you know, camaraderie. It's, you know, we're trying to, you know, accomplish something, but you're enjoying the conversation and the people around you. So I just really enjoy the culture out there. They do a great job.
Oh, they really do. Yeah, and it's a great networking event. Thanks for bringing that up. It's getting to know fellow businessmen and women around Eureka, around the community. And not just Eureka, because the Chamber of Commerce is drawn from far outside of just Eureka itself. So
yep.
Great networking event and great networking opportunity as well, just like golf.
Yep. Looking forward to it. I can't wait. I Had a great time the last time I went, and I'm sure that Bo is greatly improved now. So as a team member, we can depend on him a little more, right, Bo? I'm just
That's
kidding.
The hope.
I didn't do any better than Bo did the last time. So
I don't
I'm
know
not
about that.
Talk.
No, actually, Doc, when's the last time you were out there to shoot 100 rounds, and what was your number?
So it's been the last time I was out, it was freezing cold, and I was in the 50s. But kind of my best is right, yeah, 60, mid to low 60s is my best. I feel pretty good about that. Some of those shooters are incredible, though. I mean, good golly, they'll run a station or they'll shoot in the high 80s, 90s. It's incredible watching them.
Yeah, is it JB out there that's the pro guy that we talked to,
yep.
Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you say, 90 out of 100 or something like that? I'm like, well, I have a goal.
That's true. That is very true. Dr. Patrick Fader, listen, it's looking forward to spending some time with you next Friday, the 19th.
That sounds fantastic, you guys. Really appreciate you having us on.
All right, Eureka Chamber of Commerce Facebook page. You can go in there for more information, get signed up on their website, EurekaChamberofCommerce.org, I believe it is. Is that right, Doc?
EurekaChamber.org, yep.
Eureka,
you
got to
look up Eureka
okay.
Chamber. Yeah, look up Eureka Chamber Mo if you're doing Google, but because there's a lot of Eurekas around the country. You don't want to go out to California and there won't be any guns out there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
really.
The truth. Oh, man.
Sorry. That slipped out.
All right. Well, Doc, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Again, we're only a few days away from this event, so sign up and maybe get a hold of a friend of yours, or maybe you want to bring your wife out to it. Whatever the case is, we'd love to have you out at this event. It's a great fundraising opportunity. And as he mentioned, just like our poker bash, we got a raffle for Henry Golden Boy 22 rifle and a Mossberg 12-gauge shotgun. So that might pique your interest as well.
Good right. stuff. Hey, coming up, if you've never been to a war reenactment, you're in for a treat. You've got an opportunity coming up out at Jefferson Barracks. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return in a few minutes. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with the Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And we are talking about something. Bo asked me in the break, have you ever experienced one of these war reenactments before? And I said, about 20 years ago. And all I remember is that it was 100 degrees outside, and the guys and gals taking part in it were in costume for the period, with the heavy wool, and I mean, it was, I couldn't believe that they were not passing out from the heat. It was so hot. But you have an opportunity coming up at Jefferson Barracks next weekend, and it should just be awesome. We got Thomas Hoff with us right now, cultural site manager for St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks, to talk more about bitter conflicts at Jefferson Historic Sites taking place next Saturday. Thomas, welcome in.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you in. So before we get into the details of the actual event, the people who participate in these things truly have a commitment to reenact history, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in the reenacting community since 1984, and you'll find some amazingly qualified people working. I hesitate to use the word amateur historians, because for a lot of reenactors, their research and reference skills are outstanding and on par with people who are working in academia.
Wow.
It is absolutely respectable that they do this, because, you know, every time we turn around, history is, being squashed here and there. And, when it comes down to the vehicles, the uniforms, as Mark mentioned, the weapons, it is so... it's so precise. And I've been to some gun shows, some historic gun shows for just shows, not sale. And the artifacts that are from these wars are still here, and it's a great way to teach your family. And this is the reason we're having you on, Thomas, is because the show is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This is just another opportunity to get outdoors. Now, I'd like to start with, Thomas, the name of this event is called Bitter Conflicts. Can you explain the origin of the name?
It's almost kind of a play on words. What we had kicked around doing was having an event that would be a little bit different from our usual living history events here, make it a little bit more adult-orientated, maybe try to bring in some of the local microbreweries and expand what we were doing. So we were originally thinking of things like, you know, beers, battles, and barracks, things along those lines. But since bitter is a beer style, and bitter also refers to, you know, bitter conflict, we thought we'd kind of punt it up a little bit with the name and make it Bitter Conflicts.
I got it. Wow. So can we assume then that is it period related? I mean, is it Civil War, or is it more conflicts?
What we're actually doing is we're doing a timeline of the American soldier. And there will be reenactors here giving a look into the American Revolution all the way up through the Vietnam War.
That's cool.
So when people are showing up, it's a free event, by the way, for your whole family or your friends. You want to come out. But when people are there, what are they going to be doing? Are they just going to be standing on the sidelines and watching, like battles? Or what are people, should they expect when they come out?
Well, we're not going to be doing any battles this year at this event. There will be some demonstration of how weapon systems work. And other equipment that was used by the soldiers would work. Our big battle is usually, we do that at World War II weekend, which was last weekend. What they'll be here is literally a line of encampments for each different period. You can see how the soldiers lived, what they fought with, what equipment they had, how food was served, what sort of food, things along these lines. At each site, and you'll be able to walk along, starting from the American Revolution, going into the War of 1812 and the Mexican-American War, and so on and so on, and get an insight into what the American soldiers has done.
Wow. Thomas Hoff is our guest, cultural site manager, St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks. And, you know, I made a little reference to this off the top, the people that I was thinking about 20 years ago when I met them. The weather is still pretty good in the spring, but if you're dressing true to form for a lot of these uniforms, they were heavy, wool, hot, even right down to the undergarments, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are advantages to using wool for the construction of military uniforms. It holds up better than, say, cotton, and it breathes well. If it needs to, wool trousers can actually be more comfortable than a pair of blue jeans on a hot August day, because you'll get better airflow than you would with blue jeans with the tight weave and material. So it still gets hot. I'm not denying that point at all. But there were a lot of reasons why militaries were using wool as the basis for their uniforms until later changes to different fabrics. So yeah, it's going to be a little warm for some of our reenactors, but I'm sure they're all going to survive well.
Thomas, I have to ask, did you serve in the military yourself?
I was in ROTC in college, and then I took a leave when I was 21 years old to become a police officer, and then I went back to school after that and finished up, but did not go back into ROTC.
Well, you know what? I'll thank you for your service to your community as well. When it comes to the accuracy of what people are going to see out there, do your reenactors make sure they keep people on point? Like, hey, that's out of place. That pin shouldn't be there. It should be over there. Anything like that, as far as, you know, keeping track with the authenticity of it?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things we're doing with the reenactment units that we have here, it's not a free-for-all where we've invited everybody. We have curated what units we want to be here, and that is based on their professionalism, their sticking to authenticity, their ability to communicate with the public. We've got a whole series of criteria. One of the things I learned years ago from the National Park Service was the importance of vetting who you have doing living history. And the NPS was very good at only collecting a few select units to use for War of 1812 events, as effectively their camera company, and to steal a term from the film industry. And we're trying to do the same thing here. The people we have here are the best people we could find for it.
Well, I mean, I think that's great. Tell folks where they can go online. What's the website to find out more details? Because it's next Saturday, the 20th.
Right. Well, right now, if you go to our big presence, what we really tend to use is Facebook.
Okay.
And if you go to the St. Louis County Parks page, there'll be information there. There'll also be information on the page for Jefferson Barracks Historic Site. And everything should be on those pages that you would need to know. And for those of you who aren't accessing the internet, if you set your GPS for 345 North Road in LeMay or St. Louis, that's going to take you right to with the site we're using for the timeline.
Again, we want to mention that this is an event that is free. In your experience, you said you've been around the reenacting community for a long time. Do you find any healing for former military or family of former military when they come out and see these things?
Yeah, actually, I do. I think for a lot of people, they'll come out and they'll see stuff that they can personally relate to, and it gives them a good sense of being. One of the things we did doctrinally with the museum here is we used to only go to 1946, and now we go up to the present. And I have found that, like, veterans of Desert Storm and conflicts like that really appreciate seeing their material in the museum. When we ran our first Vietnam Living History Weekend, 4 or 5 years ago now, we had a lot of Vietnam vets that were out, and they truly appreciated the fact that there was a younger generation that was fascinated with what they were doing, what they had done, and were trying to replicate it. And I think they got a good sense of satisfaction out of that. And I know it gives people an opportunity to sometimes to bring their grandchildren out and say, this is what I did. You can see right. What I lived with. And they find that, to be constructive as well.
Yeah, it's a very cool experience for people that haven't done it. I hope they check it out next Saturday, May 20th, down at the historical site there, Jefferson Barracks. Thomas Hoff, thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Thanks for thinking of us and including us in this program.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Like I said, thanks for thinking of us and including us. And if there's ever anything we can do for you guys in the future, let us know. I mean, if Mark needs some historical research done for something or a story, we're here.
Excellent.
That's great.
Thank you. If you haven't been down there, if you got kids that are, into Call of Duty or something like that, I mean, there's going to be something there for a lot of people, right?
Gosh, that's a good question. Are there like video games or PlayStation or whatever that does the reenacting?
I mean, you're reenacting it by playing it in many cases. I've seen ones for the Old West. I would assume they have. Ooh. I would assume they have them for different conflicts as well. But that's wow. Not my area of expertise for sure. My son played Call of Duty for a while. He tried to give me the controller one time to let me play against him, and I would end up walking in circles, and he'd just shoot me. So it was worth
hitting the A button doesn't feel like pulling a trigger. Does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. Not at all. I could not shoot and walk at the same time, for sure.
Well, dang, we got the next weekend booked up for you guys. Friday, the shooting sporting clay shoot event for the Eureka Chamber of Commerce, and Saturday get you out to Jefferson Barracks. Wow, that sounds like a complete weekend. You can sleep on Sunday.
Got it. Save Sunday for the sleep. It ought to be fantastic. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio of the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys. Good boy. What is it good for?
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And we are talking about something. Bo asked me in the break, have you ever experienced one of these war reenactments before? And I said, about 20 years ago. And all I remember is that it was 100 degrees outside. And the guys and gals taking part in it were in costume for the period, with the heavy wool, and I mean, it was, I couldn't believe that they were not passing out from the heat. It was so hot. But you have an opportunity coming up at Jefferson Barracks next weekend, and it should just be awesome. We got Thomas Hoff with us right now, cultural site manager for St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks, to talk more about bitter conflicts at Jefferson Historic Sites taking place next Saturday. Thomas, welcome in.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you in. So before we get into the details of the actual event, the people who participate in these things truly have a commitment to reenact history, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in the reenacting community since 1984, and you'll find some amazingly qualified people working. I hesitate to use the word amateur historians, because for a lot of reenactors, their research and reference skills are outstanding and on par with people who are working in academia.
Wow.
It is absolutely respectable that they do this, because, you know, every time we turn around, history is, being squashed here and there. And, when it comes down to the vehicles, the uniforms, as Mark mentioned, the weapons, it is so... it's so precise. And I've been to some gun shows, some historic gun shows, for just shows, not sale. And the artifacts that are from these wars are still here. And it's a great way to teach your family. And this is the reason we're having you on, Thomas, is because the show is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This is just another opportunity to get outdoors. Now, I'd like to start with, Thomas, the name of this event is called Bitter Conflicts. Can you explain the origin of the name?
It's almost kind of a play on words. What we had kicked around doing was having an event that would be a little bit different from our usual living history events here, make it a little bit more adult-orientated, maybe try to bring in some of the local microbreweries and expand what we were doing. So we were originally thinking of things like, beers, battles, and barracks, things along those lines. But since bitter is a beer style, and bitter also refers to, bitter conflict, we thought we'd kind of punt it up a little bit with the name and make it Bitter Conflicts.
I got it. Wow. So can we assume then that Is it period related? I mean, is it Civil War, or is it more conflicts?
What we're actually doing is we're doing a timeline of the American soldier, and there will be reenactors here giving a look into the American Revolution all the way up through the Vietnam War.
That's cool.
So when people are showing up, it's a free event, by the way, for your whole family or your friends, you want to come out. But when people are there, what are they going to be doing? Are they just going to be standing on the sidelines and watching, like battles, or how? What are people, should they expect to, when they come out?
Well, we're not going to be doing any battles this year at this event. There will be some demonstration of how weapon systems work. And other equipment that was used by the soldiers would work. Our big battle is usually, we do that at World War II weekend, which was last weekend. What they'll be here is literally a line of encampments for each different period. You can see how the soldiers lived, what they fought with, what equipment they had, how food was served, what sort of food, things along these lines. At each site. And you'll be able to walk along, starting from the American Revolution, going into the War of 1812 and the Mexican-American War and so on and so on, and get an insight into what the American soldiers have done.
Wow. Thomas Hoff is our guest, cultural site manager, St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks. And, you know, I made a little reference to this off the top, the people that I was thinking about 20 years ago when I met them. The weather is still pretty good in the spring. But if you're dressing true to form for a lot of these uniforms, they were heavy, wool, hot, even right down to the undergarments, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are advantages to using wool for the construction of military uniforms. It holds up better than, say, cotton. And it breathes well. If it needs to, wool trousers can actually be more comfortable than a pair of blue jeans on a hot August day, because you'll get better airflow than you would with blue jeans with the tight weave of the material. So it still gets hot. I'm not denying that point at all. But there were a lot of reasons why militaries were using wool as the basis for their uniforms until later changes to different fabrics. So yeah, it's going to be a little warm for some of our reenactors, but I'm sure they're all going to survive well.
Thomas, I have to ask, did you serve in the military yourself?
I was in ROTC in college, and then I took a leave when I was 21 years old to become a police officer, and then I went back to school after that and finished up, but did not go back into ROTC.
Well, you know what? I'll thank you for your service to your community as well. When it comes to the accuracy of what people are going to see out there, do your reenactors make sure they keep people on point? Like, hey, that's out of place. That pin shouldn't be there. It should be over there. Anything like that, as far as, you know, keeping track with the authenticity of it?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things we're doing with the reenactment units that we have here, it's not a free-for-all where we've invited everybody. We have curated what units we want to be here, and that is based on their professionalism, their sticking to authenticity, their ability to communicate with the public. We've got a whole series of criteria. One of the things I learned years ago from the National Park Service was the importance of vetting who you have doing living history. And the NPS was very good at only collecting a few select units to use for War of 1812 events, as, you know, effectively their camera company, and to steal a term from the film industry. And we're trying to do the same thing here. The people we have here are the best people we could find for it.
Well, I mean, I think that's great. To tell folks where they can go online, what's the website to find out more details? Because it's next Saturday, the 20th.
Right. Well, right now, if you go to our big presence, what we really tend to use is Facebook.
Okay.
And if you go to the St. Louis County Parks page, there'll be information there. There'll also be information on the page for Jefferson Barracks Historic Site. And everything should be on those pages that you would need to know. And we're, all right, for those of you who aren't accessing the internet, if you set your GPS for 345 North Road in LeMay or St. Louis, that's going to take you right to the site we're using for the timeline.
Again, we want to mention that this is an event that is free. In your experience, you said you've been around the reenacting community for a long time. Do you find any, like, healing for former military or family of former military when they come out and see these things?
Yeah, actually, I do. I think for a lot of people, they'll come out and they'll see stuff that they can personally relate to, and it gives them a good sense of being. One of the things we did doctrinally with the museum here is we used to only go to 1946, and now we go up to the present. And I have found that, like, veterans of Desert Storm and conflicts like that really appreciate seeing their material in the museum. When we ran our first Vietnam Living History Weekend, four or five years ago now, we had a lot of Vietnam vets that were out, and they truly appreciated the fact that there was a younger generation that was fascinated with what they were doing, what they had done, and were trying to replicate it. And I think they got a good sense of satisfaction out of that. And I know it gives people an opportunity to sometimes to bring their grandchildren out and say, you know, this is what I did. You can see right. what I lived with. And they find that, you know, to be constructive as well.
Yeah, it's a very cool experience for people that haven't done it. I hope they check it out next Saturday, May 20th, down at the historical site there, Jefferson Barracks. Thomas Hoff, thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Thanks for thinking of us and including us in this program.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here.
Absolutely.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Like I said, thanks for thinking of us and including us. And if there's ever anything we can do for you guys in the future, let us know. I mean, if Mark needs some historical research done for something or a story, you know, we're here.
Excellent.
That's great.
Thank you. If you haven't been down there, if you got kids that are, into Call of Duty or something like that, I mean, there's going to be something there for a lot of people, right?
Gosh, that's a good question. Are there like video games or PlayStation or whatever that does the reenacting?
You're reenacting it by playing it in many cases. I've seen ones for the Old West. I would assume they have.
Ooh.
I would assume they have them for different conflicts as well. But that's wow. Not my area of expertise for sure. My son played Call of Duty for a while. He tried to give me the controller one time to let me play against him, and I would end up walking in circles, and he'd just shoot me. So it was worth
hitting the A button doesn't feel like pulling a trigger, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. Not at all. I could not shoot and walk at the same time, for sure.
Well, dang, we got the next weekend booked up for you guys. Friday, the shooting sporting clay shoot event for the Eureka Chamber of Commerce, and Saturday get you out to Jefferson Barracks. Wow, that sounds like a complete weekend. You can sleep on Sunday.
Got it. Yeah, save Sunday for the sleep. It ought to be fantastic. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio of the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.